This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Don and Peter, I mean, they're living up to the edict that was set by Tim McCarthy. They just continually want to get me in trouble. They make me say things that make me look bad when I'm just trying to defend myself, and frankly, I'm getting tired of it.
Okay. Example, please.
You know, so I have to come out and say, you know, I'm perfect. When you know I don't think I'm perfect. I'm the worst thing, but I get backed into a corner like a rat, and so I strike back at people.
Don't make it seem like you're better than me.
I am. Well, see? Yeah,
I didn't make you say that.
But what did you want me to say?
Wow, but what? Hold on. Are you blaming Don for the words you said?
Yeah.
Can we hear it again, please, Anthony?
Don't make it seem like you're better than me.
I am.
He actually tried to help you. He said, don't make it seem like you're better than me. All you had to say was, of course I'm not better than you. Did you do that?
No, I didn't. Anyway, it's time for a guest now. Sal Pelantonio, Matt Bowen, and Greg Cosell break down the draft's top prospects on NFL Matchup Draft Special. It's available as we speak right now on ESPN+. Plus, we love talking to Sal, and he's carved out some time for us today. Sal, how you doing?
I love talking to you guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing very, very well. Don and I just argued, but that's another story for another day. So let's start with Deebo Samuel. What do you think is a reasonable return? People are saying, you know, maybe the Jets should give the 10th pick. One person called in and said the 4th pick. I dismissed that. You know all of this stuff. So where do you think it fits?
Well, I dismissed the 4th pick, too. I mean, you know, bottom line now is that when Deebo Samuel talks his way out, right, Michael, the value goes down to a certain degree in the trade market, not up. I mean, Deebo Samuel's putting the 49ers in a tough spot. Do I think he's worth the 4th overall pick in this draft and nothing else? I mean, nothing else, just the 4th overall pick. You might be able to talk me into that, but would I give up the 10th overall pick? Absolutely, because a lot of people were projecting that the Jets with the 10th pick, Michael, would take a wide receiver. So why not take Deebo Samuel making the 10th pick? I think that's a simple thing to do.
Could you? Is there a way, because with the Hill stuff, they didn't have to give up any of the two first-round picks. Is there a world in which those two second-rounders can be enough to at least start a conversation with San Francisco?
Yeah, I think you could probably start a conversation with them. But listen, you know, Deebo Samuel is her whole offense. I mean, you don't have to go very far to figure out what the number is in terms of what Deebo Samuel gives to that team. Now, you're moving on probably from Jimmy Garoppolo to Trey Lance. I mean, there's probably no probably about it. You're moving on. So now you've got a situation where you got a rookie quarterback and you don't have your most veteran offensive and most productive presence in Deebo Samuel. So they value him very highly. But the problem is with Deebo Samuel demanding a way out of San Francisco, he wants any way out, that's going to be tough for San Francisco to get the value that they believe that he is worth back for him. I mean, unless there's two or three suitors out there for Deebo Samuel driving the price up, which there could be. But, I mean, the Jets, you know, if the Jets said, hey, we'll give you the number 10 and a 2 pick, I think that would get the deal done. I would imagine it would.
Now, the interesting thing, I always bring this up when players demand trades. Technically, Sal, they control him for 3 more years. This year, and then he could obviously put the tag on him for 2 years. Is there a world where they say, we're not trading you?
Well, you know, what you've seen with Brady moving and Russell Wilson moving and Devontae Adams and Tyreek Hill is basically sort of a LeBronification of the National Football League.
Right.
Players in the NFL look at the MLB, they look at NBA, Michael, and they see the guaranteed big money. And in the NFL, that's never been the case, except, you know, you're giving $250 million out to a quarterback. And so the next guys up are the wide receivers now who are saying, hey, you know, what about us? The quarterbacks are getting their money. We want our money. We not only want our money, we want our money guaranteed like the quarterbacks are getting. So the Kansas City Chiefs, let's look at that for example. They give $250 million to Patrick Mahomes the second. They all, everybody knew when they did that, they wouldn't be able to pay Tyreek Hill. So they can't pay Hill unless they want to totally blow up their entire roster, what Hill wants. So they have to trade him because they don't have a quarterback on a rookie contract. So they have to trade him to a team with a quarterback on a rookie contract like Miami. So that's what's going on here, basically, with San Francisco. San Francisco's moving on from Garoppolo. We all know that. They're going to have Deebo Samuel smart enough to figure out, listen, they're going to have a quarterback on a rookie contract in Trey Lance. They're going to have to pay somebody. That somebody happens to be me, who, oh, by the way, I'm a wide receiver who they play at running back. So my chances of getting hurt playing running back, and he plays a lot of running back in Kyle Shanahan's offense. Everybody, you know, who watches our show or watches the game knows that. He's saying, hey, I can get hurt, so I want to get paid. And I want to get paid by like a wide receiver, and I want to get paid like Tyreek Hill, and I want to get paid like Devontae Adams, and I want to get paid like the quarterback.
What happens with Metcalf? Is he on the table as somebody they can get?
That's a good question. Don't know. I don't think Seattle wants to move on from what Metcalf. You know, there's no signs that they do.
Now, let's say the Jets don't trade the 4th and the 10th. Who do you project that they're going to pick? Who do they like at the 4th, Sal?
See, Michael, I think, you know, they're sitting at 4. I think there's 4 or 5 guys in this draft who are plug-in and play superstars. Don't use that term lightly. Mm-hmm. Plug-in and play highly productive superstars. I think they are Aiden Hutchinson, Evan O'Neill, Trayvon Walker, and Jermaine Johnson II. Greg Cosell on our show has Jermaine Johnson II as the number one pass rusher in this draft, and I happen to agree with him. He is a tremendous player out of Florida State. He's tough. He's strong. He's got a relentless motor. He's got all of those attributes that, you know, film study guys will talk about, his ability to bend, his ability to, you know, have tremendous first step. So if the Jets are sitting there and Johnson falls into their lap, Jermaine Johnson is going to make a lot of people happy in New York by the way he plays football. And he's going to change the defensive profile of the Jets overnight. And it's a pass rush league. You know, listen, I like Deebo Samuel. I'm not sure he necessarily fits in with Zach Wilson and what they're doing offensively. I think he really fits in with the Giants, by the way. But, you know, when you look at what the Giants with Brian Daboll and what they're going to do, I think he would be a perfect fit. But that's another story. I mean, you know, look, you look at the last 2 Super Bowls. Like, the AFC is loaded with quarterbacks. We all know that. A lot of young quarterbacks in the AFC. Well, how come the NFC won the last 2 Super Bowls then? Superior pass rush. Superior pass rush talent and scheme. Patrick Mahomes II, pressured 26 times by Todd Bowles in that Bucs defense. And then the Rams sack Joe Burrow 7 times, 6 in the second half. Superior pass rush won the last 2 Super Bowls. Beat young quarterback talent. This is where the league is going. It's a blitzing league. It's a league where you have to get after the quarterback. If you don't, you're on the outside looking in. And I think the Jets, if they're ever going to turn it around, they need a defensive player who completely changes the profile of what they do every Sunday, demands a double team. He's a guy where you have to find out where he's lined up all the time, and I think that's Jermaine Johnson. If he's sitting there, the Jets would be very, very happy.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, who do you have with the Giants? Who do you have with their two first-round picks?
Well, I think offensive tackle is very important. Listen, Brian Daboll is going to bring in a more pass-heavy offense with Daniel Jones. But, so they're going to have to protect him. He is going to be on the run or more mobile, or, you know, they're going to move the launch point more like they did in Buffalo with Josh Allen. They're going to ask Daniel Jones to throw the ball more. That's Brian Daboll's offense. You look at what they did in Buffalo, they hardly ran the ball. So they got to protect Daniel Jones if they're going to try to get anything out of him. And I think offensive tackle is where they're going to have to go at number five. And, you know, they won't get the top tackle in this draft, but they'll get one of the top tackles. And then at seven, you know, if Ahmad Sauce Gardner is from Cincinnati is sitting there at number seven, you know, he's a terrific player. He's going to be a terrific NFL talent at cornerback. And, he may line up as the best cornerback outside of Darius Slay within the division as a rookie overnight. So they're going to get two really good players at five and seven.
Is there anything, Sal, that they can do or any kind of season that Daniel Jones could have where he's their starting quarterback in 2023?
You know, that's it, right, Don? That's it. That's the question. Are they going to get what they need out of Daniel Jones to justify bringing him back? It's a monster question, and I don't know anybody has the answer to that. Tell me what the alternative is. You know, look at what we're going through with here in Philadelphia with the Eagles, right? I mean, there's no question they were in the market last year in the discussions for Deshaun Watson. There's no question that they were hungry to figure out how to get Russell Wilson to Philadelphia. Last year, maybe in this offseason, they had tangential discussions, but Russell Wilson wanted to go to Denver and Deshaun Watson did not want to go to Philadelphia. He had no trade clause. And so they're sticking with Jalen Hurts. And the same thing can be said about the Eagles with Hurts, Don. You know, and the same thing can be said about the Washington Commanders and Carson Wentz. Three out of the four teams in the NFC East, the quarterback's on the clock. Quarterback's on the clock.
I was going to ask you, Sal. I'm sorry. I was going to ask you, Sal, with your time in Philly and knowing it well, what do you think about the move for Carson Wentz? Is he a locker room problem? What's the deal with Wentz?
Well, you know, he's had locker room problems. It's well documented in Philly. And, you know, the owner basically said as much. Jim Irsay said as much in Indianapolis. His numbers weren't bad last year, but he blew up badly in two games. When Tennessee came in there, he threw those two interceptions late. I was at that game. And then going to Jacksonville and turning in one of the most awful performances a quarterback could have in a critical situation.
Yeah.
But overall, his numbers were not that bad. But here's the bottom line. If you can't play for Ron Rivera, you can't play for anybody.
Well said.
You really can't. Come on. But he's definitely – this is the last stop on the train. Everybody knows that. He's probably got to know that. I mean, this is it. And 18 teams have not won a playoff game in the NFL in the last 3 years. 18. Four of them are in the NFC East. Four of the 18. And it comes down to quarterback play.
Now, speaking of quarterbacks, before we let you go, who's the best quarterback in this draft, and is it somebody that could make a difference on a team?
Yes, and I'm going to rely on my colleague, Greg Cosell of NFL Films, who's been breaking down young quarterbacks for over 40 years as the godfather of our show. And flat out, he says it's Kenny Pickett by a lot. And, you know, he proves it on our show. If you turn it on, he proves it. His decision-making, his ability to read defense pre-snap, decide where he's going with the football, his ability, he's got some good mobility, good enough mobility to get out of the way of the pass rush. He's proven that at Pitt. His arm is accurate enough where his ball placement is routinely very good. So we're going to come down on the side of Kenny Pickett out of Pittsburgh. And the question is, will the Panthers take him at number six? Will they take him? Will Matt Rhule take Kenny Pickett, try to convince the owner, say, hey, we take this guy, and I get a new lease on life. I want to coach this guy. Or will they stick with Sam Darnold? I asked Matt Bowen, who played safety in the NFL for 8 years and who I trust implicitly. He's not one of these guys who will give you just a take to give you a take. I said, I want you to study it and look at it, and I want you to tell me, is Kenny Pickett better than Sam Darnold right now? Right now. And he said, yes, he is.
So none of the guys, Matt and Greg, nobody has concerns about tiny hands. That's all we heard about.
It didn't come up. And okay. It doesn't come up on tape when you look at it, Michael. Doesn't come up on tape when you look at it. There's no evidence on tape that it's a problem.
Gotcha. That's interesting because they make such a big deal out of it at the combine. Weird.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that we do that's a little different on our show, you know, that's why we're sort of mission specific on the show, is we only do one draft show for the matchup show at Films, and it's based on film study. It's not based on, you know, measurables.
Right.
You know, what did the guy do against the best competition, and how does that project to the NFL game as it's played today? That's our mandate on the show, and we support that with conversations with general managers, coaches, and scouts, and other players, and we say, okay, you've looked at them. What do you see? Help us understand what you saw so that we can, you know, come up with some kind of professional conclusion. And, you know, we're not always right. No one's always right with the stuff. You know, you ask us a question, and this is the answer that they've come up with based on the study, that Pickett is, you know, ahead of everybody else. And I agree with Greg that he is. I like Malik Willis, but I think Pickett is much more Ed Water. He's ready to play in the NFL for sure.
The show, Sal, is talking about NFL matchup draft special available right now on ESPN+. Plus, when the madness of the draft ends on April 30th, please be my guest at a Yankee game, Sal. I know you love the Yankees, so it'll be on me.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Fantastic. Thank
be
you,
well.
Michael. Thank you, Don. Thank you,
Greg. Take care.
Later.
That's a great Sal Palantonio. When we come back, Giants had a little bit of a, I guess you could say a little bit of a concern where somebody didn't show up today. And I always wonder, I know it's voluntary, but is it really? Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.